Good evening. We'll time being 5:30, we will start. I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's meeting, to those who are in the public gallery and also to those members who are watching at home on YouTube. My name is Paula Reet and I'm the Mayor of Kingborough. It is my pleasure to officially declare the meeting for Tuesday the 14th of June at 5:30pm officially open. It is Council's policy that meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the recording has started.
Confirmed.
Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay my respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening, we have myself, Councillor Reet, Deputy Mayor Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace, and I believe shortly we will have Councillor Street, who did indicate he was stuck in traffic. We do have apologies this evening from Councillor Midgley and Councillor Wass. Our staff in attendance this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, the Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Stevenson, the Manager of Finance, Mr Jones, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Our declarations of interest. Does any council have a declaration of interest? No? There is only one item on the agenda tonight, being a special council meeting to consider the budget. So we have item 6.1, operational and capital budgets and rates resolution for 2022-23, with a recommendation on page 7, 6. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Westwood. Seconded, Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us this evening Council's proposed operational budget and capital works budget for the upcoming 2022-23 financial year for our consideration. The budget has been put together based on a long-term financial plan, a 10-year plan that councillors approved last month in May. And this long-term financial plan provides a pathway for us to deliver a sustainable underlying surplus from 2022-23. I'm very proud of the work that this council has done over the last, 3.5 years of my term, and in the lead-up before that, we have made some very careful, what I think are responsible financial decisions. They haven't always been easy, and consensus budgeting in itself is not easy. We have 10 councillors around the table, and we need to very carefully prioritise what we do fund and also what we don't fund. And we've worked really hard to collaborate together as a group to reach the position that we're in today with this budget before us, with a small underlying surplus for next year. So the budget is based on a 2.8% rate rise. There are obviously some challenges, but this 2.8% is based on what was the long-term CPI, and that's what we are endeavouring to stick with. Obviously, there's been a lot of commentary lately in the media about what's happening in the broader world, the war in Ukraine, and other things that have resulted in the consumer price index being well in excess of 2.8% in the March quarter 2022. But nonetheless, we have made some difficult decisions. We have kept our rates at a 2.8% increase for next financial year, and we've worked together to prioritise how we fund within the money we have available for our municipality. There are a few things of note in this budget. One of them is linked to an increase in the transportation cost component of the CPI, which has increased by around 20%, or just over 20%. The flow-on impact for that will be small increases in our garbage recycling and FOGO services to reflect the increase in the cost of delivering that service. And those charges flow through in terms of cost recovery for us to provide those services to our ratepayers who receive curbside collection. There are, I guess, a number of different things. There's a $20 million capital works program delivering a huge array of CapEx projects. And, I urge my colleagues to support the budget we have in front of us. I think it strikes the right balance between an environment that reflects the hard work we've done to date whilst balancing the current environment that we're in at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Further speakers? Councillor Fox.
thank you, Mayor. I guess I'm concerned that the rates are too low and I would like them to go up. There are many reasons that I have concerns. The impact of climate change on council, it affects everything we do. We've got more rainfall, we've got more opportunity for fire, the cost of materials gone up, and as Councillor Westwood said, the cost of fuel has gone up. And everything we use is transported, from concrete to trucks driving up and down doing maintenance work. And I'm concerned that we don't have enough staff. We have a lot of staff turnover, but I also feel that the staff that we have at Kingborough are the backbone of one of the reasons people want to come and live here. The work they do, the quality of work they can do, is something that makes Kingborough special. And by having staff, we are able to achieve our strategic plan. They generate income for us in a way, because by having staff, we don't need to get our external labour in, and their knowledge and their skills are invaluable. We've also been dealing with the impact of COVID, and because of COVID, a lot more people have been on leave. It's meant that the strategies that we have in place aren't able to be achieved on time. We've got one of the lowest rates in Tasmania. We've got a fairly affluent society, and the average income in Kingborough is one of the highest in the state. The community are constantly asking us for more services, for playgrounds, for sporting facilities to be upgraded, for social events to be organised, for better roads, for rubbish collection, recycling, dog policies, cat management, and bush and reserve management. And I feel that if we could employ at least maybe one or two or three more people, it would help with the pressure that the staff is under. We're currently proposing a 2.8 increase. If we had three staff, and I'd be corrected by Mr. Breen, but three staff would be the equivalent of $100,000 per person, which would be around about 0.9% of a rate increase. So if we had a 1% rate increase, we would be able to employ three more staff. And I think it would make a huge difference to the operational budget and to the capital budget, and also to the quality of the work that we are able to perform. And I would like to ask Mr. Breen if my figures are correct.
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Yes, the figures are correct, yes.
And I'd also like to ask for a response from the General Manager through you, Mayor, whether this would be something that we could consider.
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Fox, of course it's something Council could consider. In turning its mind to that consideration, it would also need to take into account the current position of this council in terms of the long-term financial plan. and the pursuit of a genuine underlying surplus, because any change to the recommendation before you tonight in terms of an increase in the general rate would have a corresponding impact in a negative sense on the underlying position of this council.
I guess I have a question about the underlying surplus. We have been getting dividends from TAS Water, and I guess also we're having a revaluation that's coming in. I understand that there's a considerable group of people, about 24%, where their valuations have actually gone down, or their rates will be going down, because their property values are increasing less than the average increase in the municipality. But I guess other people, their rates are probably going to go up because of the valuation situation. But at the same time, I'm just wondering how that is going to impact on our surplus.
So can I just clarify there, because there is some misunderstanding within the community about the impact of valuations on council rates. Basically, when the valuations are done, there is the same size of the pie is just divided up differently, so there is no additional income that council receives as a result of the valuations. It just means adjustments for individual ratepayers, and as you've already mentioned, 24% will go down, but the other people will see an increase in their rates as a result of the valuations, but there's no windfall as such to council. Okay. Thank you. Further speakers? Councillor Bastine.
Thank you. I would like to support Councillor Fox's plea. I spent a long time going through the figures again as things have changed. And when you look at things as simple as the plant vehicles and equipment section, where fuel and oil, we're only going up, I think, about 1% from what we were paying, what we estimated last year. But in fact, fuel, diesel in particular, has gone up 80 cents a litre. Now, I can't see how we're going to be able to keep to the prices that we have said that we hoped would be the amount we spent on fuel. Things like the rural culvert cleaning, which we have had lots of problems with this year, and I thought that we had agreed that we would be putting more money into things like having the rural culvert spread, especially as the stormwater money that's paid by people who live out of the metropolitan area of Kingston. This is where their stormwater is going, is through the culverts, and we're paying more and more money as a rural person, but not getting what we need to get, I think, as far as our roads and maintenance. There's many, many things in here that I think where things are looking so tight because of what we're having as far as trying to bring things under the 2.8% increase that, you know, we just can't get it. And there's another question I would like to ask, and that is there's a new fee that has gone on to some parts of the some different departments, which I haven't seen before, so I'm wondering if, through you, Mayor, if the General Manager will be able to tell me what they are. Why do some departments now have to pay for water and sewerage and other departments don't, as a separate line item?
So previously, the majority of those costs were sitting in the property section, property section, and to accurately reflect now the actual areas where those charges sit, they've been broken down into the appropriate departments.
Okay, so some departments don't pay though.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So generally what we try and do is allocate costs where they're occurred within a particular department. For instance, I guess the sports centre would be a typical one where once we now have the capability of splitting the water costs into the various areas, we can directly allocate that. But for instance, a department like planning, it's just a general overall costs associated with this particular building, so that they haven't got separate charges themselves.
Okay, and there's one other thing that there are many things I'd like to create, but I'm not going to spend ages tonight doing that. I'd like to know how much what it's going to cost for people who don't have garbage collection service to take their garbage to Beretta. That's not mentioned anywhere in here. I'm wondering if we know what that is, Mr. Reeve.
Mr. Reeve.
Three, Mayor. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure exactly the dollars, bearing in mind this went up through the fees and charges and was approved by Council just recently. But I understand that for the garbage coming in there, it's only a modest increase. I think it's about a dollar or something extra.
Okay. And we have one other thing I'd like to ask is for a sewerage upgrade on the depot. We have money set aside for that, but I thought that we had plans perhaps to move the depot.
Very long-term plan, as far as I know, Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. That's correct. So this is mainly Dreshy Service, the current depot site at the moment, but what it will allow as well will allow that whole site to be better utilised for future sale if necessary moving the sewer away from the centre of the block, so allowing it to be a far more useful block. So it'll solve two potential problems.
Okay, thank you. At the moment, that's all I've got to say.
Did you want a response in relation to the fuel prices from Mr. Breen?
Yes, if Mr. Breen has a response to that. Sorry, Mr. Breen,
I'm
didn't
sure
give you an
does.
Opportunity to tell me how we're going to do it so cheaply.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I think within the budget for the next year, there will be a number of challenges, and certainly that one you've picked out will be one of those challenges. Unfortunately, when we put the figures together, it was generally before we saw the significant price increases. So the challenge now around the plant area will be to say, well, are there any costs in other areas that we can minimise to offset what will most likely be an above budget allocation for fuel? So we'll try and maintain it within that particular budget.
Or how can we bring in a little more money to help pay for it?
Councillor Grace.
Only one question. As you're aware, I voted against the long-term financial plan. For these reasons, some of the questions are now being asked because we're in a no-man situation at the moment with fuel and goodness knows what, material cost escalating. We don't know in 6 months where we're going to be.
Yep, no, you're absolutely correct, Councillor Grace. I think one of the things that will be very interesting is when we come to the mid-year budget review, and that'll be the opportunity for us to make any adjustments at that point if there are unexpected costs. So, thank you. Next I have Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. I'd like to speak against a further rate rise over the top of 2.8%, mainly for the reasons that you all just said. The fuel prices are going up, cost of living is going up. It's not a good idea to be putting extra pressure on our community. So I support the recommendation as it is. Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge the 10 submissions that were made online for the draft budget. I note that all of the issues that were raised on those online submissions have either been costed or have been placed on the five-year plan. So I think that's a really wonderful response there. With the survey results, the online survey that came out, a couple of things that I note there. The top three rated things were road construction and maintenance, stormwater drainage and rubbish collection. And I note that we're putting $20 million towards our capital works. So I think that's really wonderful, and we're responding really well to the community there. I note, though, that one thing that wasn't funded is the dog management plan. So that is something that I would like to add my voice to. I think there's a lot of dog owners in the community. Probably around 50%, is that fair to say? I'm not quite sure, but I think I remember hearing a figure like that. So that would be something that I would like to see in future. I also note that given rubbish collection was one of the top rated things in the survey, I would really like to see our FOGO program extended to include more public areas, so FOGO around cafes, especially cafes that are providing compostable packaging. So that isn't in this budget, but that's something that I would like to see happen in the future. I think it's great that we've reached a surplus. I have a question. What is the what's the main argument for holding on to a larger surplus versus using all of it towards different needs of the community?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I guess one of the key features is to ensure that the council's in a strong financial position. So one of the things we've noticed over the last few years is particularly with something like TAS Water, whenever there's a need within the government or a change within the government, TAS Water tends to lose its, or reduce its dividends either down to nothing or to 50%. So one of the things I think council should be looking at is attempting to insulate themselves from financial shocks like the loss of a dividend. So that's the reason why a number of councils will aim for around about a 2% of revenue surplus, so that if something like TAS Water dividends are removed, then council's in a position to not have to put rates up by a substantial amount in one go. So it's generally around just making sure council's in a solid financial position, has good solid cash flows, and is not subject to external shocks.
Thank you. So given that we've reached a surplus budget, I just want to congratulate everyone. I haven't been part of the entire process. I've been elected sort of throughout that process, but well done to everybody, and I support this proposed budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gladright. For the speakers, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And I have a number of questions to interrogate the budget, but and then I'll give my substantial contribution. My first question is a broad one. The report notes that obviously inflation is a present risk, and we've heard about the fuel issue, and my understanding is that there's long-term contracts involved. But I do note that on page 6 it says, in terms of, this is a quote, in terms of contracts, there is a present risk in terms of contracts where the escalation amount is tied to movements in CPI-related indices. So my question is, how exposed are we to that risk of fluctuating contracts? For example, do we have a clear picture of how many contracts this would affect and the total potential fluctuation in costs depending on, say, if inflation goes up or down by a percentage point, do we know the kind of exposure per percentage point, for example?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Essentially, the large contracts we've had a look through, and that's where we discovered the transport cost allocation, and therefore that flowed through into our garbage and related charges. Most of the other indexes, we sort of budget for a 3% increase. 5.8%, because they're only minor contracts, does not have a significant impact, and really the significant impacts are sort of tens of thousands, not just your few thousand dollars here or there. So we believe we're pretty well covered, but it does, the fact that there's a number of these does make it a bit challenging, and I certainly think the one that's been pointed out, fuel, is probably the most problematic we've got at the moment. And look, if things change quickly and the price comes back down, we'll be okay. If this inflation impact continues on for a prolonged period, it will create some challenges for us.
Thank you. A follow-up question to that is turning our attention to page 28, community resilience. I noticed that as a proportion of our entire budget spent, community resilience, natural disaster management, emergency management activities are really a very, very small fraction of what we spend. So I guess my question is, are we spending enough on emergency management, particularly with respect to the resilience program, Southern SES, and our generalised capacity to be adaptable in the face of anthropogenic climate change?
Before Mr. Brenn answers that, I think it's probably there are line items from other areas that would contribute to those sorts of issues that you're talking about with emergency management, but the specific line items you're talking about relate to the employment of Ms. Loxley as our emergency management coordinator and her associated staff. But Mr. Brenn, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yes, I think you've got to look at the whole picture there. And so basically it's $225,000 we're allocating to this particular area. So a lot of the work's done by the staff and they do a fantastic job in doing the work that they do. I think at this stage it's one of those areas you could throw a lot of money at, but I think we get really good value for the money that we spend at the moment.
Thank you, and I echo that point about the terrific value that our staff do provide. My next question is about our cash contributions forecast. So this is on page 12. Are you able to talk generally about our cash position? And I do know, I think there's a, what's the reason for the $184,000 variance? So this is on page 12 with contributions cash. And then maybe just to talk generally, my understanding is that our cash position is quite good, but I'd be interested in the take on that.
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. So specifically you're talking about the cash contributions, which are public open space and tree preservation contributions, the other ones. Yeah, so basically this financial year we received a significant one-off contribution associated with the Spring Farm pass, if you recall that. I think we had some discussions here at Council around that. So that's a sort of a one-off that won't be repeated again. So that's gone into our cash contributions.
And the one I was talking about, sorry to interrupt, is just on in the summary operating statement all underneath. So in the income section underneath grants recurrent, it goes user fees, grants recurrent and contributions cash.
That's the one I'm talking to.
So that's tree preservation and public open space reserves.
My next question is about engineering on page 37. So the active transport study, I just wanted to make sure, and I'm interested also in the flood monitoring, so we're looking now at page 37. My understanding was that the active transport study was to be a single document showing all of our linkages and missing linkages through the cycle plan, tracks and trails plan and footpath. Is that the case? That's what the active what does the active transport study fund?
Exactly what you've just said.
Perfect. Okay. Answered my own question. My next question is about please remind us about thinking now about garbage and recycling rates, and we have heard them mention that there is an increase there that is, I believe it to be inevitable as a result of the transport index and the really significant increases in those costs. So my question is, what contingency do we have in place for those various interest rate scenarios, or is it a matter, like how are we compared to other councils in terms of our risk exposure, and is there a chance that we'll be back here in 6 months having to change elements of this budget because of those uncertainties?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So essentially the contracts are 12 months, the escalations are for 12 months. So at this stage we've locked in our rates for the next 12 months, so we're totally aware of what those will be. The expectation is at the end of 12 months, most likely there may even be a reduction in the transport index, and so we may this time next year be discussing some reductions. That's hopefully the case. But so I think at least we know we've locked ourselves in for the next 12 months.
Thank you. A couple of more nitty-gritty ones that I don't think we talked about in the workshop, or if we did, I've forgotten. Tourism under governance on page 14. This is every year there's $25,000 for tourism, and I was just interested in in where that's going. And then the second part of that question is, under property and recreation, there's $10,000 for a security, which is a new item. So please describe what that $10,000 security looks like.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So I might start with the security one. So basically, security has been undertaken. This is general security where we engage a firm to do a bit of a drive round. So at the moment, a lot of that work's been undertaken out of the works department, but it really is not, it's not a building maintenance type issue. So really, we're just centralising it into the property and governance. So that's what that works for.
Thank you.
I don't know whether Ms. Stevens can help me on the first part of the question. Oh,
is it Tourism South, the membership?
Yeah, Destination something.
Destination South, Tasmania. So we've been a member of that for a number of years. Yep. So that's our annual contribution.
Great, thank you. And then my final question is that the Jack Jumpers have provided, firstly, I should have declared that conflict of interest, that I love the Jack Jumpers. They've provided income in the form of $5,000 to the fitness centre membership and sports centre stadium of $30,000. So this is income to council. Mm-hmm. And my question really is, how many years do we anticipate revenue from the Jack Jumpers? How do we anticipate this relationship will unfold? Are those fees indexed, for example? Will they be going up?
I can't help you about the indexing, but I can tell you it's 2 years.
Okay.
And then, because by that stage their facilities elsewhere for training will be ready. And you might also be aware that last year they received some funding to upgrade the office space at the Kingborough Sports Centre to accommodate their offices and treatment rooms and so on. And also they received funding from the state government to upgrade like the backboards to be competition standard for all their ferocious slam dunks that aren't normally done at the sports centre. And when they finish at the centre, then obviously we will be the beneficiary of retaining those facilities. So that's a win-win for the community as well as having a two-year income stream.
Thank you. That's great. And so that brings me to the end of my interrogation of the budget. I do have a contribution to make, but I'm happy to let somebody else speak and then come back. Or you
might as well keep going.
So I would like to firstly thank the staff that have put so much into putting this together, and also all of those who contributed to putting together what I think is a fine piece of work, and particularly acknowledge the work of our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Breen, and of course those people who provided submissions. A big piece of this has been community consultation and participatory budgeting, and so I do thank all those people who took the time and the trouble to make their contribution, and I was really enthused by the level of attention that council actually gave those submissions. There's no point doing submissions if council doesn't listen, but I'm really pleased that there were these robust workshops that took place. We have come back to this budget a number of times, a number of different iterations, and I do hope that the community understands that certainly from my perspective we are doing our absolute utmost to make sure that this is a two-way conversation and not a one-way conversation. I'd also like to acknowledge the incredible pressures on the community right now, whether you're a homeowner or whether you're a visitor to the municipality or whether you're a renter. People are going through a lot of hard times right now, and we've elucidated some of that. The most important issues that I determine for this council going forward in a long-term perspective are dealing with climate, reducing waste to landfill, environmental management with issues such as cat management and weed control, stormwater mitigation, managing stormwater, and active transport to help us become a healthier and happier community with activated clean green streets. I encourage councillors, therefore, to vote in favour of this budget. We have, as I mentioned, done a number of workshops, and our consultation, we've made changes along the way. There is a risk here that is named up that if these budget estimates are not approved within the anticipated timeframe, then it may not be possible to issue those rate notices in sufficient time to comply with the normal deadline for the first rating instalment. And so basically what I'm trying to say is time is of the essence. We've been through this consultation process now, we've been through this development, and it's now time, I think, to pass this budget. There was uncertainty around the Taswater dividend. Pleasingly, that is coming through in full, or that's the expectation at this stage. The operational budget, I think we're looking at a figure of around about $11 million. This represents a small improvement, but I think that as it says on page 3, and I quote, the overall net result for 22-23 is an expected surplus of $6.12 million, which is an increase of $1.2 million on the previous year's forecast surplus. This increase is due to $600,000 in Transform Kingston project capital grants. I'd make the point here that there are significant grants and significant expenditure that relates to both Transform Kingston and Kingston Park. And when it comes to rates and charges, waste collection and stormwater, as we've heard, that I believe that this budget is striking the right balance. We can't charge people too much because we're in a difficult time, but we also need to make sure that we keep the community at the heart of everything we do and provide the services that people expect. I was interested in the Capital Works budget and I think this was defined well, that we are trying to strike a balance between a need to focus capital investment into replacement and rehabilitation, repairing the assets, the infrastructure assets that we already have. We have to balance that on the one hand with needing to upgrade our assets and have new assets in order to cater for a growing population. We have been receiving so many people into Kingbra, which is a great thing, but it's a double-edged sword that we need to make sure that as a council we prepare for that. And again, I think that this budget does strike a good balance between the need to repair and rehabilitate against the need to upgrade works to support a growing population. I would say that this budget is fit for purpose, and over the longer term, I'd like to see a more equitable distribution of funds to make sure that we take care of our environment and take care of the climate, and also that we're a welcoming place and that we're able to deal with the housing crisis. Right now, we see these enormous investments into the Kingston CBD, and we need to make sure that we have a more equitable distribution throughout the municipality. I think that the budget will help us be resilient in the face of a set of very uncertain and potentially precarious circumstances. And while we're experiencing short-term high inflation in environment sediments, rising interest rates, we need to keep our eyes on our long-term financial plan to the best of our ability. Overall, I think that we need to keep an eye on community resilience and emergency management, and I'm pleased to hear that this is a kind of whole-of-council approach. And ultimately, we need to improve and increase our community grants back up to 60,000 rather than the backward step of taking it down to 30,000. But for the purposes of this budget and these times, I think this is the right balance, and I support the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. All budgets are compromises. They're compromises in terms of the items funded, and we have many arguments around this table about items funded and not funded. They're compromises in terms of rate increases against community expectations and ability to pay as well. We all have little wins and losses along the way. By and large, though, I agree with Councillor Cordova. This is a good budget. It's in line with our long-term financial plan, and it puts Council, importantly, on track towards an underlying surplus. Mayor, I think we have tried our best to meet the community on a balance between our need to meet the inflationary pressure on our budget while our ratepayers battle with that same inflationary pressure on their own household budgets. And I think it's a mark of the serious consideration and effort that councillors and staff have put into this budget that a common theme around the table tonight has been that balance. And Mayor, given the commentary around rate increases amongst other Tasmanian councils over the last few weeks, I would say that we've done a remarkably good job of finding that balance, far better than many of our counterparts. Mayor, I want to touch on a theme that I touched on during the debate about the long-term financial plan recently, and that is that I think the community expects to a certain extent that we should cut our coat to fit our cloth. It's easy to say that rates ought to be higher and that people are able to pay more because Kingborough is an affluent area. But Mayor, average income is only one measure of the community's ability to pay increased rates. And on that topic, I implore my colleagues who say that we should have higher rates, and I recognise that those voices are a minority, But nonetheless, I do implore those colleagues who want rates to be higher to remember that an average income is just that, and that there are as many people in our community earning far less than the average income than there are earning more. Kingborough's reality is that we also have a massive proportion of our community in young families. Both parents, a single parent, working no doubt, and when those double income families are living in our community, they do pump up our average income. But they're doing that to get by. They're not doing that because they think that we could use the extra money. So I say again what I said when we did debate that long-term financial plan some weeks ago now, and that's that our rates income is not drawn from a fictional pool of wealth. It's pulled from the pay packets of our ratepayers, many of whom are battling to get by at the moment. And that's not to say that it's unreasonable for us to raise rates. It is, after all, it's the only lever that we have. We can't run the deficit budgets of state and federal government. What is reasonable, though, is that when we ask the community to dip into their pockets again for us to meet the inflationary pressure on our budget, we make sure, like I said, that we're cutting our coat to fit our cloth, and we only take what we reasonably need to provide the services that they expect we provide. So again, I thank staff for the enormous effort that's gone into putting together this budget. I do that sincerely. I thank my colleagues for the work around this table over many weeks to come to the outcome that we've come to. Like I say, we all have our little wins and little losses during a budget process, but by and large, this is a good budget and it ought to be supported.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Grace, you've only asked a question. Did you want to make a contribution?
Mayor, I could make a lot, but I won't. I will not support the increases. I think, as I've said many years ago, and I still think, that we as a council have not demonstrated, in my opinion, where we can save money throughout our operations, our operational side of things. And until this council does that, I will continue to vote against rates increases, because we haven't spent our capital works program. We haven't looked like spending it. Mayor, I could go on about the cost and charges against plant and equipment we have for our workforce. I believe that some of those costs for our plant is extraordinary. In a lot of cases, maybe we should be hiring rather than buying. But thank you for the opportunity, Mayor. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Before I hand over to the Deputy Mayor who moved the motion to sum up, I just wanted to place on record a few words. Firstly is sincere thanks to councillors and staff for the work that's got into this budget. It's something the community probably isn't aware of, but we start this process as long ago as sort of towards the end of last year, when we start thinking about capital projects that have been raised with us by community members, and they get put into a list, and then we have workshop after workshop. And I personally thought that the workshop that we had this year was very, very constructive, the way that we even got the good old whiteboard out, and there was a real sense of trying to achieve the best that we could for the community with the money that we had allocated to us. And it did mean at the end of the day that not everybody got everything on their wish list, but we then got some other things. And I think the important thing is that we endorsed 4 weeks ago a long-term financial plan, and that financial plan is about good governance and transparency and accountability to our community. And we have stuck to that plan in what we're presenting tonight. And what that will enable us to do in the future is to deliver an underlying surplus, provided things stay relatively on track and we don't have, you know, a random pandemic again or something unexpected that we can't predict at this stage. But in doing that, we set ourselves up for the future of being able to have a greater amount of money that we can use to fund new initiatives. There are new initiatives in this year's budget, things like the street tree policy and the walkable transport strategy. And there will be other things to come in the future because we couldn't fit it all into what we have now. We erred on the side of caution and decided to aim for a $20,000 surplus so that we have a little bit of a buffer. I think we all go into this with a great deal more confidence now that we have the Tazwater dividends that have been confirmed only a few weeks ago. I did find interesting the media reporting. The Mercury did three stories about our long-term financial plan, which was surprising, and they just kept adding up 2.8% times 10 years of the plan. It was even more surprising because it was during a federal election campaign and they didn't have anything else to print except for that. But I think if you look in what's happened in the subsequent weeks with the announcements from other councils of the sorts of rate rises that they are considering, we're seeing Huon Valley, I think, are sitting at 8%, and Clarence is sitting at nearly 5%, and you think about what Glenorchy did only, I think it was last year or the year before, had 12.5%, and they're also looking at an additional about 3.5% this year. So 2.8% in the context of that, I think, is a credit to the work that has been done here. Yes, we are a lean council in terms of our staff, and we know that, and we value the staff that we have here very highly, and we know they're under pressure, and I have to say it was really heartening to see in the community feedback in the engagement process that some people actually wrote, we value the staff that Kingborough Council has and they do a good job. And so I did want to just highlight that as one of the responses, or several of the responses, that the community see that the staff that we have here who are working very hard, who are the forward-facing people to members of the public, are appreciated for the work that they do, not only just by us as councillors, but also by members of the community. I am pleased that we were able to have more engagement from the community this year. Look, budgets are pretty dry. We know that not everyone wants to sit down and read a budget as their bedtime reading, so it was a good idea to have the survey as well as the ability for organisations like the Ratepayers Association to lodge a submission. And I was pretty pleased today that we received an email from the Ratepayers Association commending us at keeping the rates increased to 2.8% when CPI is running at 5.8%. So it was pleasing to see that. One of the things, and Councillor Cordova talked about it, was just the way that we divide the money up. And yes, there are a range of issues that we need to cover, but also we need to cover a range of areas. And so I did a little bit of an analysis because I looked at some of the feedback on social media about, oh, Council spends all its money in Kingston. That actually isn't true. Could I ask for two more minutes, please? The motion is that I be granted two more minutes. Moved by Councillor Gladrice, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour? Thank you. Seems weird asking that on behalf of myself. I don't know whether I technically should have asked the Deputy Mayor to take the chair. But I just did want to give an indication because it's interesting to see that, for example, there was, as Councillor Gladrice mentioned earlier, 58% people told us they wanted to see more asset management with roads and buildings and infrastructure, and we've delivered on that and also more for playgrounds and parks and open space. Of the $6.9 million that has been allocated for roads, bridges and footpaths, over $2.6 million is being spent outside of Kingston and Blackmans Bay. We are spreading those projects around. For example, there's four in Margate, there's two on Bruny Island, and there's others elsewhere. And likewise with upgrades to public toilets and playgrounds and other public infrastructure, it's not just happening in Kingston. So we are trying to ensure that every corner of the community is being looked after and recognises the diverse geography that we do have here in Kingborough. So thank you again to everyone who has contributed to this, to members of the community who have been involved, but also, as I said, to the staff. But I also thank the councillors and also our two councillors who aren't here this evening for the way that we were able to have the discussions this year, have a really productive workshop, and I think have a good outcome for not only council but for our community as well. So with that, I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. There's not a lot that I need to add, I don't think. Just to reiterate the sentiment that it isn't easy to develop the budget every year. It is a long, lengthy process, and you know, what you see here tonight really only scratches the surface. We do have workshops. There's a lot of consultation. There's a lot of engagement with community groups, and a lot of discussion amongst ourselves with the staff to try and determine how to prioritise the money we have. We do sit here and represent nearly 40,000 people. We are a diverse group of people. We represent different parts of our community, and those different demographics within the community have different needs and wants. And it is our job to do the best we can to raise the revenue, to provide the services that our community expects, whilst balancing those inflationary pressures on our own budgets as well as the budgets of our ratepayers and residents. So thank you to the staff for all the hard work that's gone into tonight's budget that we have in front of us. I do urge my colleagues to support the budget and hope that 2022-23 is a little bit more stable than we have seen financially over the last couple of years.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. I'm going to put the motion now. It was moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Glade-Wright. It is as printed on pages 6 to 8 of the agenda. It has 20 sections to it. All those in favour? Against? A show of hands is required. Those in favour, please raise your hands. As councillors called over, Glade-Wright, Fox, Street, Bastone, Westwood and Reet. And those against is Councillor Grace. The recommendation is carried. That brings us to the end of the agenda for this evening. That was a short and sharp meeting, so at 6:22pm. Thank you to everybody who has been watching along at home, to members of our public gallery for being here this evening. Thank you to councillors and staff, and I declare the meeting closed. Good evening.